From KMXT in Kodiak, this is the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Maggie Wall. Coming up this week, in Juneau, legislators debate the merits of raising the fuel tax. A measure would require skippers to collect taxes from their crew and send it to the State Revenue Department. And the Senate Resources Committee hears from several Alaskans nominated for the Fish Board. Meanwhile, on the other side of the country, federal lawmakers defend the Coast Guard from budget cuts announced last week. The proposed cuts are intended to help strengthen the military. But there's a big problem with that claim. The Coast Guard is part of the U.S. military. That and more coming up after this.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits. Marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs. 1-800-992-4960 or online at alaskaboat.com.
Let's take a quick look at fishing openers before we get to the legislative stories. Halibut and black cod opened on March 11th as expected, and in Sitka, herring roe fishermen are still on hold. The halibut fishery was in doubt until it could be determined how the presidential ban on new regulations affected the fishery. Black cod, which is usually opened in conjunction with halibut, was also caught in the regulatory net. In Sitka, no herring yet, at least not as of when this was recorded. However, herring has a way of hitting like a thunderbolt, so that could change quickly. And being a super fast fishery, the roe fishery could have come and gone by time you hear this. If that happens, we'll have details on next week's program. In Juneau this week, the Senate Resources Committee took comments from three proposed members for the State Board of Fish, Fritz Johnson, Reed Morisky, and John Jensen. The governor makes recommendations for board and commission positions, which must then be approved by the legislature. The appointment process for the Board of Fish is often political and controversial, and at times can be drawn out. But, as KDLG's Dave Benninger reports from Dillingham, public testimony was positive for the three applicants.
John Jensen of Petersburg and Reed Morisky of Fairbanks are incumbent members of the state's Fish Board, and Fritz Johnson of Dillingham served 1 3-year term before he was dropped from the board by the governor last year. Johnson, a Bristol Bay drift fisherman since 1979, was in Juneau Monday to speak in person to the committee about his interest in serving another term.
As I wrote to the governor a year ago when I sought reappointment, I learned a lot in those 3 years. I think I've served my apprenticeship, if I can say that, met people from around the state, got a pretty good sense of fisheries beyond my own personal experience, and I worded it as vastly more qualified now than I was before.
Senator Natasha von Imhoff questioned Johnson about a 2015 fishing in a closed period violation he was cited for in the Nooshiegak District. Some speculated that had led to Governor Walker's decision not to reappoint Johnson to the board, which the governor said was not the case. Johnson, who was a board member when he was cited for that violation, spoke about it Monday.
That was an embarrassment at the time, and I have to say that at this point, you know, I've gotten over the embarrassment, but I'll tell you, I'm going to be a little more careful in the future. The circumstances were that we had been fishing for quite some time, and I was under the sincere impression that the fishing period closed at 6:30, when in fact it closed at 6 o'clock. All I can say is it was an honest mistake. And shame on me if it ever happens again.
Senate Resources also heard from Reed Morisky and John Jensen by phone, who were both freshly finished with a lengthy meeting on the always contentious Upper Cook Inlet fisheries. The committee took close to an hour of public testimony. Gary Hollier is a longtime Kenai set netter who spoke of his support for all three nominees.
First for Mr. Reed Mariski. Obviously, I'm a set netter. We don't agree on a whole lot of issues, but he makes himself available, and I appreciate that. Would like to see him reconfirmed. I dealt with Mr. Johnson at the 214 meeting. He has the ability to analyze the data, articulate up or down if he wants to vote that way, whichever way, and I think he'd make a good member, especially after serving 3 years. Now to the most important appointment to me is Mr. Gentian. I've attended every Board of Fish since 1986, ma'am. In every Board of Fish, there's winners and losers. There's yin and yang. The last two boards had a lot of tension. This board was a lot more civil, and I contribute that to Mr. Gentian, his ability to control the meeting.
Several from Bristol Bay spoke Monday, also in favor of the nominees, especially Johnson. It was pointed out that since 1975, Alaska's leaders have unofficially designated a seat on the board for someone connected with Bristol Bay's fishery, which is unique even in Alaska for the size of its harvest, participation, and value. Drift fisherman Robert Hyano praised Mariski, Jensen, and Johnson for their availability and professionalism at the board meetings.
You know, I found them to do their due diligence in reviewing all the information before the meeting and during the meetings, and although I didn't necessarily agree with all their decisions, I walked away with the feeling that at least they were informed decisions. And I think it's very important to keep experienced people on the Board of Fish.
The committee took little or no testimony opposed to any of the nominees. If confirmed, Johnson and Jensen will be the only two active commercial fishermen on the board when Kodiak's Sue Jeffries steps down at the end of her term. Senate Resources forwarded the names on for further consideration. In Dillingham, I'm Dave Benninger.
As Alaska Fish Radio's Lainey Welch reports, a new bill, House Bill 115, is being proposed by Alaska lawmakers that would require skippers to collect an as-yet undefined amount of money from each crew member's wages and send it to the State Department of Revenue.
Whatever that percentage is, let's just say 3%. So I'd have to collect 3% from my crew and send that in. And we're saying that for IRS, we're considered fishermen doing fishing activities. And all we're required to do is send in a 1099 when you're doing fishing activities.
Jerry McCune is president of United Fishermen of Alaska. UFA is the nation's largest fishing industry trade group, representing 34 member groups, from small salmon boats to big crab boats and at-sea processors. UFA strongly opposes the tax turnaround.
We don't want to be tax collectors. We just want to be able to send a 1099 to the state, and they collect from that crew, because we have no idea what their taxes are. I think they're going to make more work for themselves, because even if I collect the money, I could be under-collecting or over-collecting. So I think it's just cleaner the way it is as contractors, the way we are. We're the only ones singled out as that.
McCune says UFA is closely watching the tax-collecting bill. McCune says at this point, not too many fishermen are aware of the proposed new law. Another bill aims to boost the fuel tax by a nickel to 10 cents, then to 15 cents by 2019. Also, ballots are in the mail to select four new UFA members. UFA's Mark Vinsel.
We had unprecedented 17 qualified nominees. Voting runs to the end of March, and four board members from that will be seated April 15th.
That was UFA's Mark Vinsel.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans, on the web at alaskaseafood.org.
Now, two cheers for the Coast Guard, or maybe we should say nearly 60 cheers. Congress didn't take lightly a proposed $1 billion budget cut for the Coast Guard, which was unveiled last week. And while any budget figures this early in the process are likely to see many changes along the way, signers to a letter supporting the Coast Guard didn't waste time in making sure budget writers know just how important the Coast Guard is to the country. Alaska's lone congressman, Don Young, was among more than 50 members of the U.S. Congress who signed a letter to the chair and ranking member of the House Subcommittee on Homeland Security, Committee of Appropriations. In particular, the March 13th letter states that proposed cuts to the Coast Guard and the Department of Homeland Security are, quote, cause for a serious alarm, unquote. Especially in light of President Donald Trump's concerns about threats posed by foreign criminals and illegal drugs entering the country, and the president's commitment to rebuild the military. The letter went on to note, the U.S. Coast Guard is a branch of the U.S. military, a fact that appears to have been discounted by OMB. The letter writers state that their concern with the Office of Management and Budget's financial outline is that it severely discounts the value and effectiveness of the U.S. Coast Guard in drug interdiction and marine security and its standing in the armed services. House members further wrote, there appears to be a bias against the Coast Guard by career bureaucrats that threaten to undermine the Coast Guard mission and, whether intended or not, to degrade its ability to effectively conduct its mission. Additionally, its counter-narcotics mission has a direct impact on border security and law enforcement. In fact, the letter says that the Coast Guard interdicts more cocaine at sea than what is interdicted in ports of entry and among all other elements of domestic law enforcement combined. Based on that alone, the letter says the Coast Guard's budget should see a sizable increase to meet the president's goal of eliminating the flood of illegal drugs. The congressional letter released this week follows a similar letter last week from a number of senators. Alaska's two senators signed on to a letter of support asking the White House Budget Office to spare the Coast Guard from the budget axe. Here in Alaska, the Coast Guard is best known for fisheries enforcement and search and rescue. A 55-year-old fisherman on the 252-foot Kodiak Enterprise experienced the benefit of a Coast Guard effort when he was medevaced March 10th off Cold Bay. A Coast Guard Air Station Kodiak MH-65 Dolphin deployed on the Coast Guard cutter Weishi was sent to airlift and transport the ailing fisherman from the boat's position approximately 40 miles north of Cold Bay. He was taken to Cold Bay, where a LifeMed Alaska jet ambulance transported him to Anchorage. A Coast Guard spokesman said that forward deploying helos and cutters to areas around the state where fishermen are active make it possible to respond faster to emergencies.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by AK Teach, now enrolling K through 12 homeschool students throughout the state of Alaska, creating partnerships that are flexible, family-friendly, and unique to your child. More information is available at AK Teach or at 907-942-0667.
That's it for this week's edition of the Alaska Fisheries Report. We had help from KDLG's Dave Benninger and Alaska Fish Radio's Lainey Welch. A big thank you to you, all of our listeners, and to the many reporters around the state whose tips and stories make this program possible. From KMXT in Kodiak, I'm Maggie Wall.